O Lord, open our eyes that we may behold wondrous things from your word in Jesus' name. Amen. Patience and I want it now. We know the statement, don't we? There was a daughter, as small daughters would want to do, who dropped her hairbrush down the loo. And her father went to rescue the said brush and landed up arrested for discharging a firearm, because after having not very successfully extracted the brush, he decided that the ultimate way of dealing with this was to shoot the loo. Patience. Well, what about the man? And this has a sort of an interesting feel to it. Who went to go shopping with his wife. Good thing for husbands to do, right? Not many men are shaking their, nodding their heads there. And he went and he waited patiently for her to arrive for 15 minutes. He then waited impatiently for 15 minutes. And he was quite irritated. And then he noticed, you know those photograph booths where you sit down and you take a photograph and you get four shots? Yeah. So he had this idea. And so he made a really angry face and took a photograph. The face wasn't that difficult to make at that time. And the result actually even shocked him. And he wrote his wife's name on the back. And he went to the counter and he said this: if you see a small dark lady with brown eyes and an apologetic expression — his wisdom should have at that moment taught him lots of things, but however — an apologetic expression looking for someone, would you please give this to her? He then returned to his office content. If a picture was worth a thousand words, four pictures was worth one whole great big lecture. His wife saved those pictures and put them in a purse. And when anybody asks her if she's married, she shows them the photograph. How are you with patience? Lots of things seem to try our patience, don't they? And waiting is one of those things. We wait in traffic. We wait in lines. It's really interesting driving around Melbourne as we did. And of course the first time we drove in Melbourne was night and it was all dark. And everybody's going at 100k unless they're slowing up because there's a traffic sort of hole up happening. And you just cannot be impatient. At least I couldn't be impatient, because you know what would happen if it did. You just cannot be impatient. You just got to have room around you, don't you? We wait to grow up. We wait for maturity in our children and wonder if it'll ever come. Wait for the decision to be made. We wait for someone to change his or her mind. There really are plenty of opportunities for patience training. We can resent it. We can accept it, or we can get good at it. But there's one thing that we can know for certain: you will not avoid waiting. And I wonder what God is saying to us about the possibilities for patience in our lives. That is, if we're not too busy. The story is told of the great New England preacher, Philip Brooks, who was known for his calmness and poise. And his friends, however, knew that he did suffer from moments of frustration and irritability. And one day he was seen pacing the floor like a lion cage. "Now, what's the trouble, Dr. Brooks?" a friend asked. "The trouble is, I'm in a hurry and God isn't." Patience is what James was talking about in our reading. And I know that in the part of the context is about the coming of the Lord, and I'll briefly touch that, but I really want us to attend to the issue of patience. And it began, "Dear brothers and sisters, be patient as you wait for the Lord's return." In this reading, James addresses the problems we face when stuff overwhelms us and tries our patience. And our response to that is threefold. We're tempted to lose patience. We're tempted to lose perspective. And thirdly, we're tempted to blame others. And we'll look at these in turn. First, when we're tempted to lose patience, remember it will be worthwhile waiting. Dear brothers and sisters, be patient as you wait for the Lord's return. Consider the farmers who wait patiently for the rains in the autumn and in the spring, and they eagerly look for the valuable harvest to ripen. You too must be patient. Take courage, for the coming of the Lord is near. James sets the theme clearly. Be patient. Be patient and take courage. Times were tough and there was no let up on the opposition and conflict they were in. It's not easy when trouble follows trouble. And the kind of patience James is talking about can only be gained by a person whose life is connected to God. Now, the word patience in Greek means long-tempered. It's kind of interesting, isn't it? Long-tempered. This is not a passive resignation, but an attitude of self-restraint that stops hasty retaliation when provoked. Patience is one of the fruit of the Spirit. It is a characteristic of those who choose to follow Jesus, but patience doesn't come easily and it has a price. Mistreatment and misunderstanding and any number of things hurt. Such hurts come from intolerable work situations, domestic conflicts, difficult relatives, of course none of us have those, being taken advantage of, friends who turn against us, people who believe gossip about us, and so on. Our natural tendency is to retaliate, to return evil for evil, to get even, to hold a grudge and become bitter. There is a better way. And James encourages us to grasp the truth that God is calling us to overcome our natural reaction with God-inspired response. Peter, in his letter, says, when you do good and suffer, if you take it patiently, this is commendable before God. There is no problem when things are going well. However, staying the course when we are faced with unfair treatment with patience is courageous. Such time God gives both strength and grace. And this is where we also need each other. Not to candy floss our troubles, but to stand with each other and be strength for each other to press forward. As we well know, tough times can be lonely, and it's very easy to be hard on yourself and feel shame and guilt and failure. And we really don't need gossips or judgment to help us do what we can do very well for ourselves. Thank you very much. What we need is trusted companions who will encourage us and be strength for us. So when we are tempted to lose patience, remember it will be worth the wait. Secondly, when we are tempted to lose perspective and strength, it is our relationship with God, who is our Father and loves his children so very, very much, that will help us the most. James tells us to establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand, or take courage, for the coming of the Lord is near. He says that instead of feeling agitated and shaken up by our trouble, we are to develop an inner stability. We are to establish or strengthen our hearts to take courage. This is a clear direction to invest our lives in what the Bible has to say and determine in the strength that God supplies. To welcome all that will shape our character after the character of Jesus. So when we're tempted to lose perspective, strengthen your relationship with God. And thirdly, when we're tempted to blame others, grumbling will not help. I got a lot to learn on this one. Don't grumble about each other, brothers and sisters, or you will be judged. For look, the judge is standing at the door. Impatience with our circumstance leads to impatience with God, which in turn leads to impatience with God's people. What do we do when we begin to feel the heat? We complain to anyone who will listen. We may even lash out at each other because of the pressure we're feeling. So James says, don't grumble. This is literally, stop it. Apparently James is picking up on a problem in the church community because he says, don't grumble about each other, brothers and sisters. This is a human tendency to have a go at those closest to us. As the old poem says, to walk in love with the saints above, well, that will be a wondrous glory. To walk below with the folks we know, well, that's another story. Nothing is ever gained by having a go at each other and grumbling. James warns that it brings judgment against the grumbler and points to Jesus' command not to judge one another, where Jesus said, do not judge others and you will not be judged. But sobering that, isn't it? Do not judge others and you will not be judged. Do not condemn others or it will come back against you. Forgive others and you will be forgiven. Judging one another is simply a bad idea considering how close God is. He is before the door, literally facing the door, ready to push it open. James says, look, Christ may return at any time. He is literally standing at the door. He may open the door at any minute and walk in, so you better find you waiting patiently, standing firm, and not grumbling against him or one another, or else you'll be judged. I only know of one antidote to deal with that. And that is, and you heard me go on about it, and I make no apology for it, is to really allow the truth of you have a Father in heaven who just loves you so much, and that you engage in that relationship. It kind of takes the power out of all the crap and other stuff that we get assaulted with. It's focusing on the depth of that relationship that he has for us. Now, we can be so sort of superficial in many ways, but he's not superficial. And the thing is, he knows you better than you'll ever know yourself. So all that stuff you try and hide away from everybody, probably not all that successfully, but all that stuff you try, he knows all about that. And he still loves you. And he still wants you to embrace the wholeness and healing and the forgiveness and the freedom and all that he has given you. And added to that, to avoid grumbling, be careful to think first. Secondly, be careful to pray first. And be careful to show love. And be careful to find out the facts. You've probably heard me talk about the power of first story. The first person who gets to you to tell you about an incident is the one that gets the weight. Did you know that? And when someone else comes along and says, well, actually, it's not quite like that, it's like this, in ourselves, we move into a disbelieving space. That there's part of human nature. It's what you do. And so no matter how convincing the first story is, it can only be the first story and it can only be part of the story, because there's going to be a whole another story yet to unfold. And sometimes we've done extraordinary miscarriage of justice, because we have listened to the first story and given it all the weight and not discovered the whole story. So we must find out all the facts. Next, be careful to consider our example. Be careful to remember our obligation. Actually, that thing about example is part of the reason I won't put stickers on my car. Because there are times I'm not quite so perfect and I don't want the gospel affected by my driving. I mean, I do try to drive well, but you know how it goes. And remember, forgive as we have been forgiven. So to conclude, when we're tempted to lose patience, remember it will be worth the wait. And secondly, when we're tempted to lose perspective, strengthen your relationship with God. And thirdly, when we're tempted to blame others, grumbling will not help. Lord God, this patience thing can be a real trial. And we recognize that we're not always smart with it. We ask, Lord God, by your Spirit, that you would produce that character of Jesus in us, that is patient, that fruit of the Spirit, and that we will set out to seek to know the mind of God and what he is wanting to say to us when we are struggling with our circumstances and becoming impatient. For to every situation you provide us, Lord, with a way of escape that we might endure. So help us to accept the truth of that. In Jesus' name, amen.